I've spent the last few hours watching netball.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been to the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, and I've been watching netball, and I've watched netball, 2 hours worth of netball, I would say. And in those 2 hours, I learned not one thing about the rules of netball.
I used to play a bit of netball. It's kind of a common, when you're a girl growing up in school, you play a bit of netball. I don't think I was a bit short for it, though. I think you've got to be a bit taller.
Well, when I was at school, I didn't really want to do all the boy sports, in inverted commas, that they made you do. And so they let you pick whether you wanted to do football, rugby, or netball. And I thought, well, I'll take the least of the three evils there, and I'll go with netball. And I was the only boy in the entire
amazing
group that were playing netball. So I had a great time.
I bet you did.
As you can imagine. Doing chest passes until the cows come home.
God. All right. And I guess you were quite tall for it as well, which probably helped. Anyway, this isn't a podcast about netball. This is, of course, a podcast about Eurovision. We've got lots to chat about still about it coming to the UK in this edition of Nolpois.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome to Nolpois, the Eurovision fan podcast with myself, Martin, and Laura, and we've got so much to talk about. You might have noticed in our previous episode, which, by the way, we're really chuffed with it. Go and have a listen to it again.
To everyone who took part in it. Thank you for joining in. I suppose we should say what it was.
Yeah, it was all about celebrating the fact that the UK has been confirmed as the host of Eurovision 2023, and then having a little look at some of the places that might want to host it, and getting them to pitch for that right to host it. And it was really, really good fun. But you might have noticed that there was one big gaping hole in the list of cities that were putting themselves forward in our particular episode. And that was, of course, London, which would, you know, I think to a lot of people who are listening from outside the UK, they would go, well, obviously it's going to be London, capital city. Of course it's going to host it. We don't think there's a remote chance in hell of it happening, but... we've been wrong before, and yes, we can be very much wrong again. So we're going to right that wrong on this episode with a very special guest who you will meet a little bit later on. So that to come. There may also be an edition of what we're either going to call Euro Terrible Singer or Flop the Bop, which I really quite like, but that to be discussed as well. But first, lots of other news going on, and Luxembourg is in the headlines at the moment.
Yes, this is we always get this kind of like little bits of news as we continue on, as we press towards September, when sort of Eurovision really rejuvenates again. Just a little bit of sort of news that Luxembourg, it's confirmed it's not participating at Eurovision 2023, which sounds like it's big news, but then it withdrew from the contest in 1994 and it's not returned since. But I do kind of like the idea of each time the EBU sort of being like, you're maybe gonna join this time, and there's like, no,
come on guys,
we won't. Like each time, like a kind of sort of X that the EBU hasn't really gotten over, and is like, maybe not this year you're gonna do it, and they're just like, no, we're not gonna do it again. So they've confirmed they're not joining in. I'll just remind you who else has said then definitely not, and that's Andorra and Slovakia. They said they're not returning in 2023. But yeah, Luxembourg not been in it since 1994. And just looks like it just isn't really feeling Eurovision anymore. It's taken part 37 times and it's won it, you know, 5 times, but no more. It just doesn't want to take part in it anymore.
Do you remember a few years ago there was a country that said it wasn't going to be taking part because it wanted to spend the money on some cars?
Yeah, which country was that? Can anyone remember?
I can't remember the country, but I just really enjoyed that idea. They were like, right, we've got the budget, what are we going to spend it on? Eurovision or some nice Honda Civics?
I mean, and fair enough, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. So that's Luxembourg, who will not again be in the competition. However, some announcements of who will be taking part.
Yes, and again, this is kind of like sort of like last week we were talking about them saying, oh, Ukraine will be going through to the grand final, and people were saying that as if it was big news when it isn't, because that happens every year. This sort of news as well is just about the fact that a couple of countries have said they will definitely be in 2023, but we kind of expected them to be. It's Cyprus, Lithuania and Estonia. They've definitely confirmed now they are going to be in it. So that's nice to know, because I think they're all, especially, you know, Cyprus and Lithuania, and to be fair, Estonia, they put on some great entries this year. So really glad to see they're still taking part.
Lots of talk going on at the moment about what a contest in the UK would look like. And Laura and I talked about this a little bit last episode. We're going to continue to do that, of course, in the build up to any announcements that come. But there's a really funny article on BuzzFeed, the online news article, just kind of having a guess at what Eurovision in the UK might look like, and it's quite funny.
Yeah, and to be fair, I can see some of it happening. So they're saying, I mean, the first bit isn't so. They say, oh, the Sugar Babes will be our entry. I don't think there's a chance in hell of that being the case. They then have suggested some combination of the host, Graham Norton, Clara Amfo, Rylan, big sort of presenting names in the UK, Davina McCall, a couple of those people host. But I like the fact they then say at some point they'll all appear dressed as ABBA or the Beatles. Which I think is quite funny. I can see that happening. I also liked another one where they said there will be a weird skit where non-British attendees will be asked to guess the meaning of Cockney rhyming slang. And I can really see that happening, much like they did in Italy with the hand gestures. I could definitely see that one happening. I said there'll probably be a performance by a huge UK star, you know, Adele, Harry Styles or someone like that again. I could definitely see that happening at some point, whether it be all of them or who will know, I don't know. But I did like the fact they also said in the green room, there'll be Monster Munch, party rings and Yorkshire tea. I think that'd be great.
That'll be very nice as well. Lots of sort of UK related nostalgia and things well known being in the UK will be featured. So, for example, they've suggested that there'll be some sort of dancing Paddington Bear mascot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, we've got I suppose the thing is, it will be very Ukraine orientated. So the thing is, while we are joking about, oh, there will be these UK things, there probably won't be that much of an element. It will be Ukraine mainly. But I do like the guess the Cockney rhyming slang thing, because I think that does sound like some kind of, where they're just like, you know, a day before the contest, they're like, we've got to fill this bit, we've got nothing to do, and they're like, oh, let's just do this, and that'll fill for time. It felt like there was a lot of that in this year's Eurovision, to be fair. But yeah, there you go, check it out on BuzzFeed. It's just a funny little article. I would say probably not by someone who knows Eurovision that much, given some of the stuff they're suggesting, but it was a funny little read anyway.
Can I share with you one of the funniest things that I have enjoyed over the past little while on the internet, because it is just hilarious, and I've just been loving this so much. So of course, if you're an airline and you want to do the flight safety video, but you want to do it in a cool and funky way that keeps people interested whilst entertaining them, why not get Eurovision band Hooverphonic to take part? Because this is what's happened for Brussels Airlines. They've put together, got Hooverphonic to do a song about like the safety stuff. Listen to this, it is joyous. Put your hand luggage under the seat in front of you, or stow it in the overhead compartment. If you're sitting in the front row or next to an emergency exit, you can only store your items in the overhead bin. Yeah, I mean, that is fantastic, isn't it? And they,
love though, is that Hooverphonic, I think, and we should say they were Belgium's entry for Eurovision in 2021. They were quite serious, I think, and they had a little bit of wry humour, but mostly they were pretty serious at compared to some of the others. They were kind of quite stoic, and this kind of shows their fun side a bit that maybe we didn't get to see in Eurovision as much. And yeah, they are literally just singing a song about stowing your bags in the overhead lockers and all this kind of stuff.
What's not to love? I mean, to be honest, if I was on a plane and they started playing this rather than just telling me the information, I would be angry. But as I'm not there at the moment, I can just enjoy this as a musical.
Yeah. I mean, can I just say the obvious? Why didn't they get Scooch? Surely that would have made more sense. Flying the flag, hello?
Yeah, I mean, that would be good. At the same time, it would also be awful, wouldn't it? I don't know how I'd feel about it. Right, one more thing before we bring on our guest to champion London, and that is Armenia, or concerns Armenia, or I should say rather the Armenian entry, yeah, who is all of a sudden kind of blowing up online.
Yeah, this is just something that's quite interesting. Rosalind, who sang the song Snap, it's been doing really, really well. And, you know, there's a couple of... I always liked the song. It went viral on TikTok, which, again, we saw that with Duncan Lawrence's Arcade, didn't we? And that blew up on TikTok, and it was a huge song for a while. And it's just been doing really well there. And now, you know, it's been in the top 30, by the way, of the UK charts, which... it's crazy, really, if you think about it, for an Armenian entry. I can't think of anything in Eurovision's past where that's done so well in the UK charts. A song that hasn't won as well. It didn't even win. And it's basically now Rosalind, who sang that song, she's been signed as well to Columbia Records. And they, you know, they're behind acts like BTS, Harry Styles, big, big names. So, you know, she's done amazingly. And it's all through TikTok, really.
Okay, still to come, the return or perhaps introduction of the terrible feature Euro Terrible Singer or Flop the Bop or whatever we're calling it. But first, Cressy.
Yes, now it's time to go all a little bit London. We were talking about Cockney rhyming slang a bit earlier. As we mentioned, we've spoken to a lot of people around the UK about where they think the Eurovision should be hosted next year. It's time now to go to London, and our guest Jay Lacey is going to be putting forward the case for it being in London, and also telling us a little bit about an event they've got coming up in London to do with Eurovision called Eurostars. Jay, hello!
Hello, thanks for inviting me.
So Jay, first of all, tell us why London? Why do you think it should be in London?
Well, London hasn't hosted since, 77 was the last time it was in London? I think so much has changed in the London landscape and what we can do to host London. I think London needs to be shown off a little bit more. I think London would be a great choice.
It has hosted a lot, though, right? I mean, it's been in London. If you look at the Eurovision history, it's been there a lot.
Yeah, true. It has been four times, but that was kind of during the 60s and 70s, which was obviously the Eurovision heyday. But I think with Sam Ryder doing so well this year, I think it'd be good for kind of London to represent and to show off again kind of what we're doing now on the London music scene.
And explain a little bit more about what that could be, you know, what a London Eurovision might look like.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you've got kind of the O2 or you've got Wembley, haven't you? The two big stadiums that are going to have capacity to do it. I would see it at Wembley, because actually at Wembley you could have Eurovision Village, you could have everything around it so much easier, whereas I think the cost of hotels and the area around the O2 just wouldn't lend itself to that kind of friendly feel you want to give a Eurovision Village when you're hosting. I went previous years in Copenhagen, for example, and Copenhagen did such a stunning job that the whole city came alive with it. And obviously London being a big city, I don't think would have that feeling unless you did it somewhere quite localised where everyone could get there and feel welcome in that area.
Last time it was in the UK, 1998, it was in Birmingham. What do you think London could maybe learn from the way that contest was put on and hosted in the NIA?
Again, I think it's the feeling of Birmingham being, yes, still a very big city, but a much smaller city, that they were able to do that welcoming feeling. And I think London can sometimes come across as quite cold and quite clinical. And I think that's the message that they're trying to get across. So Birmingham at the moment are doing a fantastic job of hosting the Commonwealth Games. And they're showing in that, that actually they've got that sense of diversity, that sense of community, which Eurovision is all about. And I think London, I agree with you, would struggle to do that if some really careful plans weren't put in place.
I suppose the argument that I've been hearing a lot against London being the host, because I think most people outside of the UK would just assume that it would be London. London's a massive city, of course it would do it. But I think the feeling I've been hearing from people that Laura and I have been talking to outside of London have been saying, London gets everything. You know, everything's always in London. There's a real feeling that somewhere else needs to be celebrated. Maybe it's Manchester, maybe it's Glasgow, maybe it's Birmingham, maybe it's Newcastle. What would you say to that argument that London gets everything and somewhere else should have a chance to be in the spotlight?
Oh, I completely agree. And kind of being from the UK, actually, I'd be so proud and honoured to be able to host this for, obviously, for the Ukraine, anywhere in the UK. And as much as I am kind of a London-centric person living here myself, my bet is Glasgow. I think Glasgow would be the place to do it because I think it's only been held in Edinburgh once. I think Glasgow had all of the publicity from the Eurovision movie, and the kind of the OVO Arena up there was the set for the movie, wasn't it? So it's really recognisable. So if I had to put money on it, I would say Glasgow would be the one that they will go for in the end, as much as I'd love it to be in London.
Well, this is interesting, putting your money where your mouth is. I like the sound of that. Now, I need to talk to you a little bit, Jay, about Eurostars, because I know you're on the team for that. Can you just explain what Eurostars is and what it does and your involvement?
So I'm one of the four key organisers for Eurostars. It's been running for 6 years now. This is our sixth year, obviously missing out on COVID year, which everyone kind of seems to have blanked out of their memory now. And we're just a group of friends, actually, that got together and wanted to bring Eurovision stars from across different countries from across Europe, so across different years, to come and just celebrate in kind of central London so we can relive that moment with them. And they get to play some of their new stuff. They play some kind of old hits, and kind of we always get a bit of ABBA. We always get some of the classic Puppet on a String, those kinds of things. But it's a real celebration. So over the 6 years, we've had several winners. We had Emily DeForest in 2016, our first year. Anne-Marie Davis from Luxembourg. We've had Linda Martin. And last year, Neve Kavanagh was an absolute storm. She did a fantastic job for us. I mean, is still a big supporter of the show.
It's so exciting, isn't it, when you get all these Eurovision people all in one room and it just feels like everyone can coalesce around their mutual love and enjoyment of the competition. Do you find that the acts that you mentioned there who have been involved as well have had that same love of the contest?
Oh, completely. Everyone you speak to. So we're very lucky too. We go for a dinner with the members the night before. All of the acts come and have a dinner with us. And they talk so passionately about it. And they have so many stories and insights into their memories. And talking to Neve particularly, she travels the world with that same jacket she wore on that night. And she jokes that more gay men have been in that jacket than women have, because literally everyone wants to try it on. And the Eurovision community are just so welcoming. Whenever we get those people in the room, they love it with a passion. And actually, that energy comes across, and everyone after our show, we always have a disco as well that runs till 1 a.m. and people are just dancing and having fun with like-minded friends, and just I've made so many friends through the community as well.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. And hold on there 1 second, Jay, because I want to find out how people can get tickets and, you know, when all this is happening. Before I do that, though, I just want to return once more to the conversation that we've been having about London potentially being a host city for Eurovision in 2023. Your experience, and you've touched on this, of going to other Eurovisions, and you mentioned Copenhagen, but I'm sure you've been to other ones as well. What will the UK, wherever the contest is held, have to deliver to put on a stellar Eurovision-worthy performance?
I think they've really got to think about the diversity of the show. And I think over the last few years, we've really championed kind of the thinking about who's hosting. So a real diverse set of hosts for the show, I think, will be vitally important. I think obviously where we're being very honoured to kind of host on behalf of the Ukraine, I think it's got to have a real Ukrainian flavour. And I think people will really respect the UK if they're able to show off the UK and what the UK has to offer, but also really staying pure to that Ukrainian message and standing by our Ukrainian brothers and sisters.
Well, I'm thinking long and hard about maybe considering London as a place. Now, you've sold it well. You've sold it well, Jay. I don't know whether you're going to convince me, but you've sold it well. Eurostars, then, just before you disappear, how can people find out more, get tickets and find out, you know, check on the date of when this is all happening and everything like that?
So eurostars.co.uk, so it's Eurostars with a Z at the end. It's on August 13th, so coming up in a couple of weeks in London's King's Cross, so it's really near St Pancras Station, so really easy to get to. Even tube strikes aside, we're easy to get to, and we've been checked and everyone's all good for the 13th, so we'd love to see as many people there as we can.
Brilliant. Well, Jay, thank you so much for coming on. Much appreciate it.
Really grateful for the opportunity, and we'd love to do some more work with you soon.
Good stuff, good stuff. Well, did that convince people then? Should it be held in London? Obviously, we've still got quite some time before we'll find out. I think it's going to be at least till September. But, you know, keeping the ball rolling there, keeping thoughts on where it should be held. Thank you very much to Jay. Now, Martin,
yes.
you're looking excited there. Is it as if you want to tell me something or do something?
I feel very excited because it is time to revisit the feature that we came up with whilst drunk.
Yes.
And which I had sort of termed Euro Terrible Singer. I think we can decide today what we're going to call it. I think the email we had from Luke last time came up with a better name, which is Flop the Bop. Basically, the idea of this
Could we incorporate both? Flop the Euro Bop?
Oh, that's... I like that.
Is that all right? Just so it's got to... Anyway, sorry, actually explain what it is about.
I should explain what it's about, shouldn't I? Which is I or somebody, maybe you, maybe Cress, sings a Eurovision song, but really bad, purposely really badly to make it difficult to identify. And then we just have to guess what it is. It's basically as simple as that, right? It's all you have to do. And if you want to get involved in this, you can. And we'll tell you how you can do that in just a little bit. But I thought I'd give it a go this time and flop the Euro Bop. Are you ready to hear it? Are you ready to guess?
Yep. And everyone obviously play at home.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. In a barn in the
Oh, I always find it really hard when Martin does it. And then I listen back on the episode. I'm like, it's obviously it was that. It was the same with that Waterloo one you did. And I was like, obviously it was Waterloo. But I really couldn't. Right, okay. I'm going to close my eyes. Go again. Yes, I know what it is. It's Ding a Dong.
Yes, it's Ding a Dong.
By the Teachins. Yes.
Ding a Dong by Teachin, a Eurovision winner in 1975 for the Netherlands. And it's a bit of a favourite of mine, mainly because it's complete nonsense, right? So the lyrics don't make any sense whatsoever, and I've been reading them. When you're feeling all right, everything's uptight, listen to a song that goes ding ding a dong and the world looks sunny, everyone is funny when they sing a song that goes ding dang dong, which actually I have to say were not the lyrics that were sung at the Eurovision Song Contest. That is the English lyrics, which they did when they released it. It was in Dutch, of course, in 1975. Is te lang geleden, met mijn hart... of that, basically. Which means, is it long ago that my heart called you with its ding-dang-a-dong? Is it long ago? Is it long ago? In the summer sun, it went bim-bam-bom.
And I have to say, that was probably a bit of the inspiration for Ya Ya Ding Dong in the Eurovision movie, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure they took a little bit off that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, I just love a bit of Eurovision nonsense.
Same.
And I think this is a song that does that very well. Congratulations, Cress, for getting it right and identifying it correctly, only from the second singing, which I think is pretty good. And hopefully you did just as well. If you want to submit, because you can have a go at this if you fancy, right? It's just a bit of fun. You just have to sing a Eurovision song as badly as you possibly can, and we will try and guess what it is. And here is how you can get in touch, and then we'll maybe get into a bit of the correspondence that's been coming in.
Yes, indeed. Please do this. We really want to hear from you, because I just can't have Martin singing badly all the time. Please.
Might be the feature. Yeah.
Just literally, you know, record it on WhatsApp or anything really quick on your phone, a little voice note, send it across to us. nullpoispodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter @poinull and Instagram nullpoispodcast. Please do send it across. Keep your thoughts coming on where you think it should be hosted in the UK as well.
Yeah, it'd be lovely to hear your thoughts on that, mainly because I'm interested to think whether people who live in a certain city always just assume that their city should be the one to host it, or like some of our guests, or one of our guests I should say, Jill, who was on the podcast last time, was saying, well, actually I'm from Sheffield, so if I was repping my local place, I'd be going for Sheffield, but no, I want what's best for the contest, and I think it should be Manchester. So have a little think about that, put forward your reasons for why it should be where it is. What would a UK/Ukrainian Eurovision actually look like? How much Ukrainian influence should there be? How much of the UK? What should there's so many things that you could maybe have a little guess at, or what you would want to see from the way the contest is going to be hosted next year. We would love to hear from you. You know how to get in touch. Do that right now.
Please do. Just a quick thing on correspondence. Thank you very much. Because if you don't know, we do have a YouTube channel. It's called simply Nul Poir. Thank you very much to, I'm not going to be able to say this right, but Kjell Arnie or KJELL A-R-N-E, thank you very much, who was commenting on Jan Tegan, because if you don't know, our YouTube channel is, we go back and look at the acts that have got Nul Poir and we react to them, decide if they did deserve it. Thank you to Kajel, who said on Jan Tegan, Norway, said his voice was amazing. If he wrote his songs in English, he would have been huge. And of course, it's worth saying he was pretty big just in Norway. He did really well, Jan, off the back of getting Nul Poir for Norway. Maybe not around the rest of Europe, but he still did pretty well. But thank you very much, Kajel, for giving your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and keep those thoughts coming in. If it is on the YouTube channel or if it's on anything we talked about in the podcast, it'll be lovely to hear from you. I'm going to go back and continue to revise my netball terminology and all the rules of netball. I'm going to the closing ceremony on Monday.
Yeah, lovely.
Should be good. Anyway, maybe I'll talk about that next time on the next edition of Nul Poir!
Very quick mention, since we're talking about female sport, it's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming.